Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 62 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Samantha Morrill.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Instead of everybody just saying, oh, less people will have government insurance, we need to say we're going to empower the consumer to have less expensive insurance and to be part of a group.
Senator Rand Paul says some improvements need to be made to new health care bill being voted on in the House today.
The Rowan Fiscal Court will consider a tax hike.
And some Kentucky officials weigh in on charter schools.
In sports, the NCAA Sweet 16 tournament tips off tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Cloudy tonight with lows around 49 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Kentucky State Police found that one woman has died from a house fire this morning on the 300 block of Patchwork Lane in the Rattlesnake Ridge area. WSAZ reports that the victim was 91-year-old Beatrice Carroll. According to the report, the house was 90% destroyed by the time authorities arrived. As of now, police do not suspect foul play.
A 16-year-old student at Montgomery County High School has been killed in a traffic accident near Mount Sterling. Police say three vehicles, including a truck hauling lumber, were involved in the crash. It occurred on Levee Road just before 8 o'clock this morning. The victim has not been identified, but officers say her mother was injured in the accident. James Blackford saw the wreck. He spoke with WLEX.
Well, I thought, I don't see how anybody could live through that because that lumber was coming off of that truck going through the windshield of that car. And it kind of devastating, you know.
Police say the rig that was carrying the lumber belongs to Hoxton Trucking from West Virginia.
The man killed last night in an officer-involved shooting in Owsley County has been identified as 42-year-old Charles Harris. WYMT is reporting police in Owsley County responded to a domestic dispute call around 11 o'clock on Boonville Home Road. When police arrived, they found Harris inside the home with a knife in his hand. Soon after that, shots were fired, killing the suspect. The name of the officer involved in the shooting has not been released. The incident remains under investigation.
A Kentucky sheriff has been arrested for allegedly stealing prescription pain pills. KNN's Haley Hansen has the story.
Carroll County Sheriff Jamie Kinman has been charged with two counts each of burglary and theft of a controlled substance. According to his arrest citation, Kinman went into a Carrollton home twice and took the drug hydrocodone while wearing his police uniform. Kentucky State Police received a tip about the break-ins in February and began investigating. Kinman turned himself in Grant County after a warrant was issued for his arrest. I'm Haley Hansen.
The joint Rowan-Moorhead Recreation Committee has offered up an idea to the county fiscal court that it believes will create funding for recreation improvements in the area. Judge Executive Walter Blevin says the group is asking the county to enact an insurance premium tax.
They came with a proposal that would raise over $1 million, we think, in new revenues for the community that we could dedicate. We understand they would have to go, if you do this insurance premium tax, it's an insurance premium tax on any insurance policies, but now you get to pick and choose.
Blevin says policies for vehicles, watercraft, casualty, and liability could be among those taxed. The Recreation Committee has $11 million of facility upgrades it wants to make happen, including the building of a water park. The city of Moorhead already has an insurance premium tax, but the panel reportedly wants to add vehicle policies to its list of taxable policies.
Kentucky's new law requiring doctors to perform an ultrasound exam before an abortion is getting its first legal challenge in a federal courtroom in Louisville. Here's KNN's Suzanne Duvall.
A judge will hear arguments today on whether to order a temporary halt to the law passed by the General Assembly and signed by Governor Matt Bevin in January. The law requires abortion providers to display and describe ultrasound images to pregnant women. The procedure also seeks to detect the fetal heartbeat, but women can ask that the volume of the heartbeat be reduced or turned off. The ACLU of Kentucky claims the law violates privacy and First Amendment rights. Bevin calls it sound legislation and predicts it will hold up in court. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
Moorhead's mayor says for the city to add more upscale restaurants, the cost of many of the town's key pieces of property will likely have to be reduced. While Trent says owners have every right to set the prices for their land as they see fit, he says those price tags remain cost prohibitive for many restaurateurs who've looked at Moorhead.
If they're successful, chain, for example, they have a business model. They have, we're going to spend this much and only this much on a property. We're going to spend this much and only this much on building construction. So they've got a, you know, they've got a system that works, and they're not going to come in and blow the budget out on property. So if it doesn't fit into that, they'll move on to a place that has property that fits into that business model.
Trent says officials from Moorhead remain in regular contact with representatives from chain restaurants, but believes things won't change for the city until land prices come down. The mayor hopes the expected implementation of a tax increment financing district downtown later this year will help lure at least one of them to the town.
A Maysville business is in the process of relocating to its new home. MSPR's Courtney Howell reports.
G&W Distributing, which is operated by DNA Wholesale and Distribution in Maysville, is relocating to the former Army National Guard building on the AA Highway. According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, DNA Wholesale purchased the building in January from the Maysville-Mason County Industrial Development Authority for $240,000. The owners of the business, Darren and Amy Poe, say the new facility will allow their business to grow and offer more opportunity for walk-in traffic, which is not available at their present location. They say the business is on track to move into the new building in early May. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Courtney Howe.
Thousands of coal miners and their families were in Washington Wednesday to meet with members of Congress and urge them to protect health care benefits and pensions for retirees. Those benefits expire next month. Among them was Johnny Smith from Morganfield, Kentucky. Smith tells Gray Digital Media he made the trip because his disabled brother could not.
He'd be here with me if he could. You know, he said he'd rather die doing this than die sitting at home because he knows how important it is to get this bill passed, you know. It means everything to him.
Smith says he and others met with Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell and were assured that a bill safeguarding those benefits would be brought to the Senate floor for a vote.
State Representative Rocky Adkins says he hopes the charter school bill that just became law in Kentucky helps improve public education in the Commonwealth. However, the Moorhead Democrat tells KET he has some serious concerns about it.
This is the first major policy, I mean major policy, especially dealing with education, that there really hadn't been a consensus on. A consensus of building across Kentucky the confidence that's needed for a measure and a policy like this to work. Matter of fact, there was not one Democratic vote in the House or the Senate that helped pass charter schools, so basically it's owned by the majority party.
Adkins says he worries about the law because it permits out-of-state for-profit corporations to run charter schools in Kentucky.
While he has concerns about how charter schools might impact state education funding, Round County Superintendent Marvin Moore doubts that they'll have much of an impact in his district. Governor Bevin this week signed into law a bill authorizing charter schools. Moore likes that they'd have to first gain permission from local school boards before they could go into business. However, he questions a clause in the law that allows applicants denied that permission to ask the Kentucky Board of Education to review the matter.
I think it's unconstitutional. They can appeal it to a state board. A state board is appointed by the governor. The local boards are elected by the people. I'm not sure if the state board can override the local board's decision because they're elected by the people.
Moore believes the charter school's law is designed more to help students in metro areas like Jefferson County. Kentucky is now the 44th state to legalize charter schools.
There's a shortage of truck drivers in southern Ohio and in many other places, and State Representative Ryan Smith says he's introducing legislation to deal with it. The Republican lawmaker's district includes part of Lawrence County. Smith is sponsoring a bill making scholarships and loans available for a six-week training program.
We feel like from a short-term perspective, it could solve a lot of needs for Ohioans that are unemployed or underemployed. So part of what our initiative is it's a 50% loan, 50% scholarship program. The scholarship obviously is not paid back where the loan is, and we felt like that was important where there was skin in the game so that somebody would value it. They would go to work afterwards and really make the most of it.
Smith says after completing their training program, truck drivers can expect to make between $40,000 and $60,000 annually.
As the House prepares for today's scheduled vote on the American Health Care Act, some Republican lawmakers are still not happy with the legislation. Senator Rand Paul says a new plan must be drafted with input from conservatives.
This is really at the feet of Paul Ryan, and Paul Ryan will have to come to conservatives now and ask us what we want. We got the wrong bill to start with. We got Obamacare Lite, and conservatives just don't like it, so we're going to have to start over.
He says consumers need to join big groups like credit unions and the Farm Bureau to force down prices.
Tuesday was the first day of a new program in Rowan County intended to limit the spread of infectious diseases. The Harm Reduction Initiative debuted at the County Health Department on West Main Street, and the director of the Gateway Health District says it went very well. Bobby Ratliff says a variety of services were available, such as a needle exchange, non-mandatory lifestyle counseling, and information on HIV transmission, hepatitis, and drug overdoses.
In fact, I will share, you know, we had the Narcan trailer there, for free naloxone for anybody that wanted it, and I've been told it was the between the Round County visit and the Bath County visit with the Narcan trailer, it was the most successful in the state so far, as far as dispensing the Narcan.
Ratliff says he's confident that the program will, over time, reduce the incidence of infectious diseases caused by needle sharing and other means in the Gateway Health District.
The National Institute on Drug Abuse is joining forces with the Appalachian Regional Commission in an effort to improve treatment services for drug addicts in rural communities. Dr. Wilson Compton is Deputy Director of NIDA.
Our initiative with the Appalachian Regional Commission is a grant program to look at demonstration products to improve the public health infrastructure and determine how good a job that'll do to address the opioid crisis in rural parts of the country.
Dr. Compton testified in Washington this week before the House Energy and Commerce Committee. Both NIDA and the ARC are putting up $250,000 each for the grant program.
It's called the March Against Heroin, and it's taking place Saturday afternoon in Portsmouth. Sarah G. is one of the organizers.
The march will start at 3 p.m., and we will be marching around like the most devastated area that's been hit by the epidemic, you know, from heroin in Portsmouth, which is like the east end of Portsmouth, Ohio, and we'll be marching around that area.
Prior to the march, G says there will be a rally at 11 o'clock in the morning at Spartan Stadium. The purpose of both, she says, is to call attention to the problem and let addicts know there is help available. Looking at the weather tonight, some clouds, low of 49 degrees. Friday, sunshine and clouds mixed, high of 72 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy in the evening with more clouds for later at night, low of around 54 degrees. Saturday, cloudy, slight chance of a rain shower, high of 73 degrees. Saturday night, showers early, becoming a steady rain late, thunder possible, low around 55 degrees, chance of rain 90%. The temperatures of the listening area: Ashland 59 degrees, Flemingsburg 60 degrees, Inez 64 degrees, Lexington and Winchester 61 degrees, and in Moorhead it is 62 degrees.
The time is 4:43. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. Stay tuned at 5 o'clock for All Things Considered. They'll be taking a look at state, national, and international news. That is at 5 o'clock right here at 90.3 FM. I'm Samantha Morrill here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're glad to be with you on this Thursday afternoon. On our feature segment, Moorhead State University professor Dr. Rick Carrick is taking a look at what should happen if it's revealed that the Trump campaign did indeed knowingly receive assistance from Russia in securing the American presidency.
When future historians write about the 2016 presidential election, a great deal of attention will be paid to President Trump's Twitter account and political rallies. But these innovations might be overshadowed if it's established that President Trump and his campaign colluded with Russian operatives to influence the election. There isn't much question about Russian interference and its impact. Russian hackers broke first into Democratic National Committee emails and then into the emails of Hillary Clinton campaign manager John Podesta. Most of the, quote, revelations were ordinary stuff. Democratic CNN commentator Donna Brazile guessed correctly on a debate question, and there was also some trash talking about Bernie Sanders among Clinton staff. Still, the constant drip of leaks had a big role in keeping the Hillary campaign from developing momentum and building on her debate wins. Along with the FBI's investigation into Hillary's State Department emails, this kept the election close enough for Trump to get lucky in the Electoral College. The question of whether the Trump campaign colluded with the Russians is important because helping a rival power interfere in an American presidential election is the kind of, quote, high crime or misdemeanor that justifies impeachment proceedings or a treason charge. But what happens if President Trump is forced to resign like Richard Nixon or impeached and removed from office? The Constitution mandates that the vice president, Mike Pence in this case, would then become president. In many ways, that's unfair and inappropriate, though. The Republicans would still be enjoying the benefits of Trump's alleged collusion, and a President Mike Pence would have even less Democratic legitimacy than Trump, because Mike Pence is a doctrinaire conservative at a time when conservative economic and social positions are unpopular. That would make him an illegitimate president aggressively pursuing an unpopular agenda. Talk about a recipe for disaster. If Trump is removed from office, the best thing to do would be to divide the federal government again between the GOP and the Democrats by appointing a Democrat as president while the Republicans maintain their congressional majorities. In this context, Hillary Clinton is the obvious choice, partly because she was the victim of the alleged collusion and partly because she won the popular vote anyway. A constitutional mechanism by which Hillary could become president would be for Mike Pence to be sworn into office as president and appoint Hillary as vice president according to the Constitution. Pence would then expeditiously resign and be succeeded by Hillary as president. This kind of arrangement would be a caretaker administration, but it would be the best bet to get the country to the 2020 election with minimum damage. Given the fragility of the American political system, that may be all we can hope for.
Dr. Rick Carrick is a professor in the Department of International and Interdisciplinary Studies. Braxton Howard has been keeping an eye on the sports world, and he's coming up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. First today, a developing story from the University of Louisville. The NCAA has rejected UofL's claims that men's basketball coach Rick Pitino adequately monitored the program, concluding that Pitino did not seek routine feedback about activities in a dormitory where a former assistant coach arranged for strippers and prostitutes to entertain players and recruits. One former player told the NCAA that it was, quote, common knowledge when a high-level recruit was on campus that strip shows would be taking place in the dorm. This response from the NCAA sets the stage for a hearing in front of the Governing Body's Committee on Infractions that is likely to take place this summer. The Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament begins tonight. In the first game of the night at 7:09, 7-seed Michigan faces 3-seed Oregon, followed by 4-seeded West Virginia battling top-seed Gonzaga at 7:40. 11-seed Xavier faces 2-seed Arizona just after 10 p.m. tonight. The marquee matchup of the night is number 1 Kansas, squaring off with 4-seed Purdue. Kansas head coach Bill Self says his team has to worry about more than just Purdue big men Caleb Swanigan and Spencer Haas, who combined for 31 points and 17 rebounds a game.
Everybody talks about those two, and rightfully so, you know. But the reality of it is they're balanced in every spot. You know, they got 5 guys shooting above 40% from 3. They may be as good offensive teams we played all year. You got to worry about their bigs, but you can't rest on those other guys.
That game is scheduled to tip off at 9:40. As the fifth-ranked Wildcats get ready to face UCLA as part of the NCAA Tournament Sweet 16, Kentucky coach John Calipari says his team has had several unsung heroes in the postseason. According to Calipari, Derek Willis, Dominique Hawkins, Michael Mulder, and Isaac Humphries have all given the Cats some key production, but adds they need to get more from Wenyen Gabriel.
When you talk Derek, Dom, and Michael, I mean, those three have really helped us. Isaac, at times, we need him in this next set of games, and you really need Wenyen to play better. You know, he's probably kind of the X factor because of his size. Just has to play a little bit better.
That's Calipari on his weekly radio show. The Cats face UCLA tomorrow night at 9:40 in Memphis. Unlike some previous Moorhead State basketball coaches, Preston Spradlin wants to put more focus on signing recruits from Kentucky. The 30-year-old Spradlin is a native of Pikeville and says he will be actively prospecting the Commonwealth whenever he looks to add talent to MSU's roster.
It starts with a head coach who really wants to be here. I'm from this area. I know the people, and I'm very proud to be here and serve this community. as a basketball coach and all the things that come with that. And it trickles down to the players. You got to make sure that you get players that want to be here. And it starts with kids in the state.
Spradlin played his college basketball at Alice Lloyd. He will be looking to sign several recruits in the upcoming weeks, with MSU slated to return just 8 players for next season. Morehead State has announced that they will formally name Spradlin as the 14th head basketball coach of the men's program at a news conference next Tuesday at 1 p.m. The event is open to the public. Some other notes from around college basketball. Georgetown University has fired head coach John Thompson III after 13 seasons with the school. Georgetown missed the NCAA tournament this year for the third time in the past 4 seasons. Duke sophomore forward Chase Jeter is transferring. The 5-star recruit out of high school averaged just 7 minutes per game this season. And Virginia junior guard Darius Thompson will transfer. He is the third player to leave the Cavalier program in the last 2 days. The Morehead State Baseball Eagles are gearing up for a big weekend OVC Road Series. Starting tomorrow afternoon at 3, they will be facing rival Eastern Kentucky in Richmond for 3 games. MSU coach Mike McGuire's bunch will carry a 14-6 overall mark along with a 5-1 conference record into battle. His Eagles have also won 9 of their last 10 games.
I think we've gotten off to a nice start to the season. We're only a third of the way through, and I think we're going to continue to get better. We certainly haven't hit our stride as a club.
EKU is 13-9 overall, but is just 1-2 in the OVC. The Colonels are hitting .307 as a team and averaging 8 runs per game. The Morehead State softball team is preparing to open up conference play Friday at Austin Peay. Despite being 16-7 on the year and currently riding a 9-game winning streak, head coach David Williams says his team still has some improving to do.
We'd like to get a little more consistency offensively and be able to score more runs than what we're scoring. We're scoring enough to win, but we'd like to be able to separate ourselves a little bit, and I think that's a really key area that we're really concentrating on, is manufacturing runs and trying to score more runs. But to me right now, that's the biggest thing that we really need to try to improve upon as we head into conference play.
Austin Peay is 10-14 on the year. Tomorrow's doubleheader in Clarksville is scheduled for a 2 p.m. start time, with the second game to follow right after. With offensive coordinator Patrick St. Louis leaving the Morehead State football program recently, head coach Rob Tenier didn't have to look far to find his replacement. Tenier says he will be taking over that role that he held for several seasons before he became the Eagles' top man in 2013.
Looking forward to it. I already started working on tweaking our playbook a little bit. Want to get back to playing faster football again. And obviously we're losing a 4-year starter at quarterback in Austin Gayhafer, so we got to replace him. And I think we've got some guys on our roster that can win some football games. So I'm excited about that. Looking forward to getting back on the field and the classroom again with the players.
The MSU football team starts its spring practices next Tuesday at Jane Stadium. And finally in sports, the charges filed against Cincinnati Bengals cornerback Adam Pac-Man Jones in connections with a downtown Cincinnati hotel incident has been reduced. MSPR's Chuck Mirage reports.
Jones was initially charged with 3 felonies for his role in an alleged January 3rd confrontation with the hotel security guard, along with police, that reportedly got physical. The 33-year-old player is also accused of spitting on a nurse as he was being booked into the Hamilton County Jail. However, prosecutor Joe Dieters has announced that those charges have been dismissed. Jones is now facing 3 misdemeanor charges, including assault. The nurse whom he's accused of spitting on may seek a civil case against him. The Bengals have declined comment. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Chuck Mraz.
That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball will host Eastern Kentucky for 3 games this weekend, tomorrow at 3 p.m., Saturday at 2 p.m., and 1 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks fell after a key vote in the House regarding a Republican-led health care bill was delayed, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 4.72 at 20,656.58. The S&P 500 was down 2.49 at 2345.96, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 3.95, finishing at 5817.69. The broader market was stronger as winners beat losers on the New York Exchange by an almost 19-10 margin. And, of course, the health care vote is considered crucial for the Trump agenda, and earlier a top GOP official said that the House will not vote on the bill today. Also, House Speaker Paul Ryan's weekly news conference was postponed until further notice. And, of course, the bill, if signed into law, would effectively repeal and replace Obamacare. In economic news, new home sales hit a seven-month high last month, rising 6.1% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 592,000, and this topped expectations. U.S. Treasury bonds traded mixed, with the 10-year note yield holding steady near 2.41% and the 2-year note yield staying around 1.24%. And on the corporate front, shares of Ford Motor fell after the company's first quarter guidance came in lower than Wall Street estimates. General Motors stock was also weak. Ford finished the day down almost 1%, while GM was down 0.3%. And Disney announced it will extend CEO Bob Iger's contract until July 2019. Disney stock finished up 18 cents at 112.26. And among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Nike and DuPont. The worst performers were United Health Group and Travelers. In the S&P 500, the best performers were PVH Corp and TripAdvisor. And the worst performers were Accenture and Centene. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 93 cents at 122.76, CSX down 34 cents at 46.11, AEP up a penny at 67.45, Marathon Petroleum down 27 cents at 49.30, AK Steel down 13 cents at 7.49, and Kroger was up 30 cents to finish at 29.26. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
To take a final look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight we'll see some clouds, lows of 49 degrees. For Friday, sunshine and clouds mixed, highs around 72 degrees. For Friday night, partly cloudy in the evening with more clouds later at night, lows of around 54 degrees. For Saturday, cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers, highs in near 73 degrees. For Saturday night, showers early, becoming a steady rain late. Thunder is possible, lows around 55 degrees, and the chance of rain is at 90%. For Sunday, rain early, then remaining cloudy, with thunder showers developing in the afternoon. Highs around 66 degrees, and the chance of rain is at 90%. For Sunday night, cloudy with a light rain early, then becoming partly cloudy. Lows around 53 degrees. And the chance of rain is at 70%, and it is currently 62 degrees in Moorhead. And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Moraz, Dan Conti, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, and Ashley Davidson. From the Kentucky News Network, Suzanne Duvall and Haley Hansen, and our feature segment this afternoon came from MSU professor Rick Carrick. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Samantha Morrill for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.